Hello and welcome to Korean Context, a behind-the-scenes conversation with the scholars, artists and opinion makers that bridge our two worlds. My name is Chad O'Carroll and I'll be your host today. On the 13th of January 2012, the Korean Economic Institute marked Korean American Day at a celebratory event at the museum in Washington, D.C. With Korea among the top five countries of origin of immigrants to the United States, and Korean Americans having made numerous contributions to American life over the past several decades, Congress decided in 2003 to mark January 13th as the annual Korean American Day in the United States of America. To mark the day, KEI celebrated the contributions of three prominent Korean Americans in the fields of art and literature. Peter H. Lee, Professor Emeritus of Korean and Comparative Literature at UCLA, Yong-Suk Chi, Chairman of Elsevier Management Committee, and Daniel Dae Kim, the actor who I'm sure you all know from Hawaii Five-O, Lost, and other feature films. After the event, I got the chance to speak to Daniel Dae Kim for a special Korean-American Day episode of Korean Context. I started by asking what it was that made him change career path from law to acting during his early university days.
You know, I guess for me, when I was going through college, there was a lot of tension between what I felt that I should do and what I really wanted to do. And it was unfortunate that the thing that I wanted to do was didn't fall in line with what was expected of me. And so, as much as I do love politics and government, the thing that I felt like my heart kind of led me to was acting. And so that's why I changed course.
Most people that have done well in the creative scene, they've had to, like, at one point in their mind had a thought that said, I'm going to have to put my all at this. What point did that happen for you, and what made you really think, I'm not going to have to need to fall back on law?
Wow, I still ask myself that question.
Or did that happen? I don't know.
No, I do remember there were a couple of transition points for me, and one was graduation from university. Once I graduated, I really felt like I had to make a commitment one way or the other. And I remember being a senior, and when all of the management consulting firms and law firms were coming to campus recruiting, I really was faced at that point with the crossroads. And it was then that I made the decision to make the commitment to go to New York and try it, being an actor. And there were several other kind of crossroads subsequently, but it's a question that I constantly ask myself. There are some people who act and they say, well, I can't think of ever doing anything else. It wasn't necessarily the case with me. I kept thinking, well, there are other things I could do, but I still choose acting.
You're an actor. That's what we all know you for. What else do you like to do? I understand you've recently opened a burger restaurant, for example, in Hawaii.
I did, and I've actually since sold my shares in the restaurant. It was something that I tried as an experiment, and I found really fulfilling. And then now I want to try and do something else. But I'm really a political junkie, actually, in my spare time. I read a lot of blogs and news sites like HuffPo, and I like to keep up on what's going on. And to me, they always say politics is a sport, so that for me it's a recreational sport.
This is an interesting question that we had a sort of straw man with questions in the office, and someone suggested this, and I think it was an interesting question. And several of the panelists raised this today, saying that they alluded to the point that in, I think it was 2005, you were recognized as the sexiest man, quote unquote, by people.com, I believe.
Big quotes, big quotes.
Is it true? What do you think of the idea that Washington is the sort of Hollywood for unattractive people?
Well, I've heard two things. I've heard that Washington is Hollywood for the unattractive, and that Hollywood is Washington for the stupid. So, so it goes both ways. But, there are a lot of similarities between the two cities, for sure. They're both one industry towns, and, the currency of conversation is what is happening there at that time. I think what happens in Washington is a little bit more important personally. There are some parallels to be drawn.
Ronald Reagan once said, "How can a president not be an actor?" What do you think of Obama in terms of acting?
You know, I think there is a great value to being an orator, a really good orator. And I think President Obama is exceptionally good at speech making. I think he has a way of connecting to his audience without sounding like he's feeding you BS. And that is, that's a very important part of the job, I think. And when you have someone who's not as strong in that department, I gotta admit, I feel like I trust that person less, or I feel less sure of his capability. So that's definitely part of it. I think Ronald Reagan had something, he was onto something with that statement.
Okay, so it's Korean American Day today. You've had your award. As a Korean American, have you experienced any difficulty in balancing your identity between Korean and American?
I think it's fluid. You know, throughout my life, there were stages at which I felt I wished I was more quote unquote American, even though as a Korean American, I am fully American. And then there were other times where I really embraced my Korean heritage. So it's a question that is, it's a question to which the answer is ever evolving for me. But I am happy to say that I feel like I found a nice balance. And the older I get and the more sure of who I am I get, the easier it gets.
And growing up, how did you find it? Because, I mean, I myself am Irish-English. I was born...
That's an interesting dichotomy, too.
And one thing, I remember watching a documentary when I was younger about people in our situation who were of two nations. There was someone, I remember, he said, I feel like I have no nation. And I felt the same dilemma sometimes going back to Ireland, where I don't feel like I completely fit in. Mm-hmm. The same... in Britain, where sometimes I, especially when I was younger, I felt like I didn't completely fit in. Like how did you encounter any of those difficulties growing up? Or
absolutely, you know. But I find questions like that are really matters of perspective, ultimately. You know, because there have been moments where I felt like I am a person without a country. You know, I am not 100% accepted in America, and not 100% accepted in Korea. And those are the down days. But more of the time, I really feel lucky to have two cultures in my daily experience, you know, to be able to say that I understand something specific about America that maybe a typical quote-unquote American wouldn't is, I think, a real blessing. And, you know, I have a perspective on Korea now as an American that I think is unique as well. So more of the time, I feel like I'm privy to two societies as opposed to, you know, master of none.
And, you know, as a Korean American in Lost, you played the role of Jin Su Kwon.
Correct. Well done.
Yeah. Did you find it, I mean, easy or hard to act the role of not a Korean American, but a fully legit Korean?
Korean national, yeah. There were some very specific challenges to that. But one of the best parts of doing the role was, in a way, was an homage to my parents and their generation, because I felt like Jin was a traditional Korean male, not in a modern sense, but almost in a throwback way. And I was able to kind of model certain elements of his character on my parents and their friends. And in so doing, I felt like I could pay my small tribute to them.
So it helps being of your background.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and it also helped to be American. And this is something that a lot of viewers didn't understand at the time. But if you are Korean, portraying a Korean, that's authentic. But you are portraying it for primarily an American audience. And so it helps to know what the American sensibility is when you're telling a story and when you're making choices as an actor. So I do feel like it was helpful to be a Korean American playing the role of a Korean national, as opposed to a Korean national playing a Korean national who didn't have a full comprehension of American society and the language.
And how do you think Korean people are generally portrayed in American films? One film jumps to mind, Do the Right Thing by Spike Lee. I don't know if you've seen it.
Sure, of course, yeah.
Where it's all about the differences. And I mean, I haven't watched many films that have featured Korean Americans in such the same way.
That's because there aren't many.
Yeah.
But no, Do the Right Thing was a product of its time and place, and I think that is a legitimate example of a kind of Korean American. Now, the problem that we run into is that that portrayal, among many portrayals, is valid and legitimate. It's just that we don't have many other portrayals to balance it out. To me, it's a spectrum of colors that represents an experience. Now, once we can find that balance and have different kind of characters that we see in the mainstream, then all of that becomes part of the picture. And as an actor, that role that Steve Park played, and I think played really well, is as legitimate as Jin-Soo Kwon, or as legitimate as what Ken Jeong does on The Hangover. You know, all of those things are part of what we should be able to do. And I think that's what we're working toward, the day that we can portray those characters without having the weight of representation on each one's being placed on it so heavily.
Okay, yeah. As a Korean American that's been, mainly doing your work in the United States, are you, any point do you think you're going to do any work in Korea itself, or maybe you have in the past?
I would like to, but I realize that there are certain limitations to what I can do, so it would have to be a specific kind of role. And to be quite blunt, I wouldn't want to just go there for the sake of going there. I'd want to do something that I could be proud of. And I'd want to do something with filmmakers and actors whom I admire, because there certainly are many of them in Korea. So yes, I'm open, and given the right opportunity, I would welcome it.
Okay. So, we all know you as Daniel Lee Kim from Lost, Hawaii Five-O and whatnot, but, you do work on the side as well in other areas. What's some of the kind of work that you do in those areas that perhaps you're... average American might not be familiar with? And of that, what are you most proud of?
Gosh, that's a really good question. I'm involved with various charitable organizations in Hawaii and nationally, and I'm proud of the work I do with them. And, more recently, I'm proud of I really think more of the appropriate way of putting it is I'm honored to be asked to be a spokesperson for, organizations like KEI or KACF. Mm-hmm. I think they're really a large part of what I can offer back to the community, and not just the Korean American community, but the American community in general. So I'm hopeful that I'm able to do more of that.
Talking about your giving back, like growing up, like what were your sort of key influences? Who sort of motivated you, or did you look up to as a, an actor in the early days?
I had my answers all prepared until you said actor. my role models still today, are not primarily actors. My role models are people like Martin Luther King and I was about to say someone else, but now you got me thinking about actors. To switch gears, to go to people like actors, I don't think it's any coincidence that the actors that I tend to admire in terms of career are minority actors, because I feel like I have much more in common with their journeys than a typical mainstream actor. People like Morgan Freeman or Denzel Washington or Sidney Poitier are role models for me. In some ways I feel like their journey parallels mine.
It was touched upon earlier, but is it more difficult, do you think, being a minority actor, coming into some of these roles than, for example, being a white actor or Caucasian?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a vision. When writers write, they write in their own image. And if the writers are primarily white American, their hero is probably going to be white American. In the same way that, when Brits do Shakespeare, if you're Welsh, they think that you're massacring the language, or if you're Irish, it's not the same. It's difficult for, an Irishman or a Welshman to get into the RSC, because there's that, it's not a written rule, but there is another hurdle that you need to cross before you're accepted in that world. And you still need the standard pronunciation. You need to fit the part and sound the part. And I think that's still true in America, although that is changing.
you talked earlier about concentrating on some, or perhaps in future doing some smaller kind of projects aside from the TV work. You've done some theatre in London, obviously, but is that something you would hope to do more of? Do you enjoy that?
I do. I love the theatre, and I really do hope to do more of it. I love London, and if there's a right role for me somewhere there, I would work again there in a heartbeat. It's about a breadth of experience for me. And so, you know, being an actor does not mean just working on television. And I do, the theater is where I first started working, and so I'd like to go back. And, you know, as far as independent films, that's a world that traditionally doesn't have a lot of Asian American representation. So, you know, that's a nut I'd like to crack.
And I'm sure London would love to have you back.
I
used to work right next to the theatre that Kevin Spacey used to work in.
The Old Vic?
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Just in Waterloo, actually. Yeah, and the queues of American tourists coming in was astounding to me every time.
Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, I think, you know, people. I could talk about this for hours, but I think it's great. And you know, I think if it exposes the average theater goer to more classical theater, then I think it's a great thing, because there's a lot to be learned from the classics.
Right. I've been following your Twitter recently, and you know, I've seen you've been watching some of the political races and whatnot. Do you think it's important for celebrities to be involved in politics in the way you are? And because you made a good point earlier that having a good education as well as being an actor allows you to be more informed on issues. And do you think it's important and useful to, you know, express your opinion to those kind of fans and whatnot?
I think that's a great question, because it's one that I'm asking myself a lot these days, because it's a fine line, isn't it? Because you're in a position as an actor to be able to speak directly to thousands of people. So why shouldn't you voice your opinion as a citizen? At the same time, the pitfalls and traps are that you become just another dilettante actor who has an opinion about something who's out of touch with the world. That's the cliche, isn't it? So, you know, I walk that tightrope, and I do have very strong political convictions, but I very rarely voice them on Twitter, because I feel like, you know, that's not necessarily why people follow me. You know, if they wanted to get political advice, they'd follow, you know, the pundits that are out there, and they're a dime a dozen. But, you know, at the same time, if I do feel strongly about something, it's part of who I am as a human being, as a citizen of America. So, I think that it does have a place, for everyone. Because if the average person had a Twitter account, they could talk about that thing. So why should I be limited by what I do?
Good stuff. Okay, Daniel. Well, thank you very much for joining us at Korean Context today. I'm sure our listeners will be relieved to hear from a voice that's not academic or think tank-like for once. It's always good to hear some other alternative perspectives. So thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Happy Korean American Day.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this special episode of Korean Context. If you did, I'm sure you'd enjoy our recent conversation with TK, the man behind the Ask a Korean blog. This and other episodes can be downloaded from our podcast website, which you can find at keia.podbean.com. That's keia.podbean.com. We'd also really appreciate it if you could leave us some feedback using the comment system on our website, or directly on the iTunes Korean Context page. If you'd like to suggest a candidate or topic for a future episode, then be sure to drop me an email, ocarroll@keia.org. That's ocarroll@keia.org. Thanks for tuning in, and hope to catch you next time.